always been very gracious and kind to us to acknowledge the time that we came to pastor Bethel Baptist Church. This past Sunday, I think, was the actual 35th anniversary of us coming, Debbie and I and our four small children, to pastor the Bethel Baptist Church and to minister to all of Jackson and the surrounding areas. We think about 35 years, and we think about a lot of changes that have happened. 35 years, we have a deaf ministry. We may take that for granted today, but there was a time we were painstakingly trying to find people who would be able to sign and be able to be a help and blessing to deaf. We have a Spanish ministry, and a lot of our Spanish, they're overworking and with our bus children, and I thank the Lord for our Spanish. We have children's ministries. A lot of things have changed. We have Sunday school. We have King's Kids. We have Children's Church. We have a mission board, Far East Baptist Missions International, and we have support a lot of missionaries, and we have a number of missionaries out of Bethel Baptist Church that are doing an outstanding job in reaching people completely around the world. We've purchased new properties. We've built new buildings. We've have accomplished a lot of different things, and a lot has changed in the last 35 years. But let me say that one thing that has not changed is the gospel message. That will never change. For over 35 years, the message about the saving power of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed from this pulpit. And in this passage, I love this passage, in Exodus 14, Moses is the great deliverer. He is the savior for Israel. Israel, the children of Israel, the children of God. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Egypt is a type of world. And for some 430 years, things have changed in Egypt, a long time since Joseph first went to Egypt. And the taskmaster's whip is striking the Israelites as they are slaves and having to build all the great things that were being built in Egypt. And they prayed for a Messiah. They prayed for a deliverer. They prayed for a Savior. And Moses was that one. Now, we know Moses. We know his parents saw that he was a goodly child and refused to throw him and let him perish in the river. We see the similarity how Pharaoh, the Herod, wanted to kill all the children 3 years age and younger when Christ was born. And we see that God used Pharaoh's daughter, who found him floating in the ark with Miriam, his sister, following close behind. Jochebed, his mother, made an ark and put her baby in it and set him in the very instrument of death that was being used. I always tell women, mothers who are afraid to put their children in the nursery, that Jochebed put her baby in the river, and you can trust. You can trust our nursery workers. Amen. Jackie tells me to tell them that. And no, she doesn't. And I don't need any help saying stuff like that from anybody. But I want you to know that Pharaoh's daughter, she brought Moses in. And then Miriam brought his mother, Jochebed, to nurse him and to be his mate. And the devil's family's paying for all of it. It's amazing the sense of humor the Lord has in this. Time has passed, and Moses, he has his allegiance towards his people. He tries to reconcile the things. He kills an Egyptian. He buries him in the sand. Then he runs for his life, and for 40 years, he's on the backside of the desert. He's tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, when a burning bush speaks to him. And in that burning bush is God Almighty. Can I tell you what? I've not seen burning bushes, but I know when God speaks to me. It's a wonderful thing, too. And he speaks to him, and he says, "Moses, Moses," and Moses says, "Here am I." And he says, "Go to Pharaoh," and Moses says, "Who am I?" And God says, "Tell them I am have sent you." And Moses goes in, and in Exodus chapter 14, He's punished the Egyptians with the plagues, the 10 plagues. There's the water turned to blood. Can you imagine the rivers turned to blood? Can you imagine that? There was the abundance of frogs. Frogs in the bedchamber, frogs everywhere. There was the plague of the lice and how they were covered with lice. There's the plague of the flies, the plagues of the dying of the livestock. There's the plague of the boils. There's the plagues of the hail that came and beat down the crops. There's the plagues of the locusts that came and ate the rest of it. There's the plague of the darkness, and there's finally the plague of the death of the firstborn. Wherever they did not see blood over the doorpost, the firstborn died there. And finally, Pharaoh says, go and get out. Now, I don't have time, and it's not the message, but Pharaoh told Moses, go, but don't go far. And then he told him, go, but just take the men. And you know, the devil wants us to compromise. He wants us to take a little half of stuff. But God, he wants the whole piece of pie. He wants the whole thing. And Pharaoh, after the death of the firstborn, he said, go, get, and get out. And the Egyptians, the Israelites, they took all their stuff, and they took the things they needed from the Egyptians as well. And 3.5 million Jews on ox and carts go out into the wilderness following Moses. And as they're approaching the Red Sea, they see the dust that's been kicked up from the chariots of Egypt, the greatest army on the face of the earth. And they begin to scream and to cry. There's mountains on each side of them, the Red Sea in front of them, and the whole Egyptian army behind them. That's where Tonto would have said, what you mean we, paleface? And Moses turns to him and says, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he takes that rod, the rod of God. You know, it's not shaped the same, but my friend, there's the rod of God for us right there. Do you believe that? And we see that he raised that rod, and all of a sudden the wind began to blow, and whew, that Red Sea parted. And they began to step down on dry land. And they walked on the, David and I, and some of you who are here, we stood there on the banks of the Red Sea, and we saw how far over it was. And they went down with all that they had and came up on the other side. And when the Egyptian army was about halfway through the river, Moses lowered his rod, and they were drowned. You see, he tells them, see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to ask you here this morning, and those who are watching live stream, have you seen the salvation of the Lord in your life? Has there been a time in your life that you truly have had a spiritual awakening and you know that heaven's your home? Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, just this one verse. Simple, elementary, simplicity at its best. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to speak on this observance of our 35th anniversary of seeing the salvation of the Lord and speaking, well, although we've had changes, we've moved up in ministries, a number of ministries. We moved up in facilities. We've moved up in acreage of quality properties and some things we can point at. But let me tell you, friend, I'm preaching the old time gospel because that's what works. That's what is true. Notice these things about seeing the salvation of the Lord. First of all, God made salvation all inclusive. It's all inclusive. Not one person's excluded. Not one. He says, for whosoever. Now, you talk to the Calvinist, and he'll say, well, what if he meant whosoever the elect is? And I always answer him, that's what he would have said. We go by what he says, amen? He said, he means what he says. He says what he means. He says, whosoever, no matter who a person may be, are, what their station in life may be, no matter what their family background may be. It says, whosoever. And God made salvation all-inclusive. And he made it all-inclusive because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you're here this morning and you have a great pedigree. It doesn't matter if you're here this morning and maybe you're connected to royalty. No matter how morally good of a person you may be and you may strive to be, let me tell you, the scriptures makes it clear, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. In Romans 3:23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's salvation is all-inclusive because we all are sinners in need of a Savior. But let me say that God's salvation is all-inclusive because all of us must die. We're going to die. And let me tell you something. I want to tell some of you young fellows here, some of you young ladies here. You may not get as old and as fossilized as what Jack Detweiler would be, or Mickey Crook, or Dean Manley, or myself. You see, we have this concept that we're going to live forever. Oh, in the back of our mind, we know that we're going to die someday. If the Lord doesn't return, we're going to die someday. But we got eons and eons time to, you know, many people live in a fantasy world that they'll live forever. They know others who are dying, but not for them. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall die. They never want to discuss the matters of death. I need to sit down and I need to make a will out. I need to see who's going to get my 2 cents and who wants my bicycle and who you know, the things, the worldly things that, you know, we need to sit down. We need to make a will out. But we put that off because death is so far away from us. No one will escape death. And God told Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You see, God's salvation is all-inclusive because we're all sinners in need of a Savior, because we all must die one day, and because all of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One day we'll stand before him. He says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is what disturbs the atheist. If I can become atheist, then we just die and our body rots and the worms come and eat our body. There's no hereafter. There's no judgment. There's no accountability. We're done. But we who know and know the Bible know that there is a judgment seat, both for the saved and for the lost. And just as sure as death is, so is the judgment to come. There's no escaping either one, death or the judgment. The prophet Amos warned the nation of Israel in Amos 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Preparation must be made prior to death. If you are lost and undone and without Christ on this side of the death, or on this side of eternity, you'll be lost and undone on this side of eternity. There is no purgatory. There is no storage place. There is no place where your loved ones can come and light candles and pray the rosary and give indulgences for you. When you leave this world, when you leave this earth, when your body gives up the spirit, you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. And we see here that there must be a preparation that has to be made regardless of what others are telling you or saying to you. And God made his gospel message all-inclusive because everyone will sin or has sinned everyone will die, and every one of us will stand before God, before the judgment. Only those who have put their trust, who have put their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, is truly ready to meet God. Consider the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, verse 22, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, Lazarus died, and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, and seeing Abraham afar off." Understand that God made his salvation all-inclusive. And if you're here, let me tell you, God loves you so, and he is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. No one else, nobody else can come to the Father but by him. Not only did God make his salvation all-inclusive, let me say that God made his salvation simple. It's simple. Look what he says in Romans 10, verse 13. "For whosoever," that's all-inclusive, "shall call upon the name of the Lord," that's simple. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't say, "Whosoever can climb on the top of the steeple." Oh, I would end up going to hell. I couldn't. I don't like heights. Some of you, if he says, "Whosoever can swim across the river," some of you would go to hell because you can't swim. But I want you to know, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The requirement for salvation is simple. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to cry out to God and confess our sin. We need to tell him that we're undone. We're unclean. Unclean, just as a leopard walking through, waving the white flag. Unclean, unclean. There are those who make salvation difficult. Man makes salvation difficult. Man's religion makes salvation difficult. They place restrictions on the gospel. Some say only a certain group of people can be saved. Some say that we must join their church and follow their ceremonies in order to be saved. Still others say that we have to prove ourselves before God will accept us. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's simple. Call upon the name of the Lord. On August the 18th, 1968, a little boy named Rick Savage literally ran down the aisle and came to this side of the pulpit. And I tell you, I was 11 years old, but I felt like I was the biggest sinner in the church. My Uncle Cecil Adams, who was a missionary Baptist pastor, kneeled down beside me, called me Ricochet. That was my nickname because I guess I was just bouncing off of everything. And he said, "Ricochet, let me show you something." He took me through Romans, and I knew that I was a sinner. And he said, "You want to bow your head and ask God to forgive you?" And I did, and I was gloriously saved that day. You see, God made salvation all-inclusive, but he made it simple. As simple as the ABCs. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. C, call and confess your sins to him. God made it simple. Can I say that? Well, we see that it's simple. It's not easy. It's simple for us, but it wasn't easy when Jesus was tied to the whipping post. It wasn't easy when they took the cat of nine tails and they flayed his back. It wasn't easy when they blindfolded him and they hit him in the face and they hit him in the face and they buffeted him and said, "Prophesy to us, O King of the Jews, who is it that buffeteth thee?" It wasn't easy when they plucked the beard from his face. It wasn't easy when they spat in his face. It wasn't easy when they drug him out before the chief priests and the Pharisees and the people. And they begin to chant, "Crucify him, crucify him. Let Barabbas go. Let Barabbas free. Crucify him." It wasn't easy when he laid down on that cross they drove nails in his hands and a nail through his feet. It wasn't easy when they lifted him towards the heavens and his cross went plummeting down to hell in the socket of the earth and jarred every bone in him. It wasn't easy when the Pharisees and the chief priests walked in front of him, mocking him, saying that you've saved others, save yourself. If you be the God, if you be Christ, if you're the Messiah, you've saved others, save yourself. It wasn't easy when the thieves on the cross said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and us. It wasn't easy. But he made it so simple that even little children can understand. When they understand that they too are sinners in need of a Savior, they can be saved. Romans 10 verse 9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's salvation is all inclusive. God's salvation is simple, not easy. Paul said that if we believed in our heart, not some superficial belief for the benefit of others, not just a head knowledge, not just an act of play that you put on for your mama or for your daddy, but a genuine faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary on the cross. Paul said the act of that faith and confession with our mouth in Jesus Christ. Paul said that we call upon him, and the word call means that we ask or we pray, we cry out, and we need to call upon him to accept his free gift of salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I could do anything to receive my salvation, if I had some type of performance that earned my salvation, it would mean that Jesus wasn't enough. And it's not my performance of my life, but it's his performance. And he said, to Tetelestai, it is finished. Put a period there. Nothing else needed. God's salvation is all-inclusive. God's salvation is simple. And then let me finish. For whosoever, all-inclusive, shall call upon the name of the Lord, simple, shall be saved, sure. God's salvation, sure. There's no doubt about it. He didn't say that we might be saved. He didn't say that we could possibly be saved. He said we shall be saved. His forgiveness of our sins. Psalms 103 verse 12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far that he removeth our transgressions from us. He didn't say north to south where we can measure the distance between the two. He said the east from the west. And God's promise to have compassion on his people and to cast their sins in the deepest sea. I don't deserve it, and let me tell you, neither do you. We deserve to burn in hell for an eternity, for all eternity. But his salvation is sure. You say, Pastor, do you ever fret about it? Do you ever worry about it? Never! Ever! It's settled. Micah 7 verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. You see, his salvation is sure. There's no doubt about it. His salvation is sure. We become part of the family. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, it seems almost blasphemous for me to consider myself and for me to present myself as the Son of God. But God tells us that's who we become. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Galatians 3, verse 26 says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We get to be in the family, and we're born again into the family of God, and we cannot be unborn. It's simple. It's simple because there's no doubt about it. It's simple because we're part of his family, and it's simple because we receive eternal, everlasting life. In John 5, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, never-ending life in heaven. John 10, 28, For I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God made his salvation sure. We have his word on it. We have a written guarantee in the Holy Scriptures that we're saved. Now Moses turns to the frightened people in Exodus 14, verse 13. I mean, things look bad for home team. The seas before them, mountain ridges on each side of them, and the most progressive, tactical army in the world's pursuing them. And Moses says, Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Have you seen that salvation today? I have. Oh, I got to tell you, I'm a big failure in so many areas. I am. But any of my failures is not because of him, it's because of me. And I struggled with this thing of salvation for about 5 years in my youth. Very much so, and I see why now. But brother, I got it settled when I was 15, and I've never looked back. And I want you to know, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And I want you to know, God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish. If you refuse to believe, if you refuse to embrace and to confess, you will definitely perish. But it says, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You're here this morning. You've been saved. Would you say amen? Don't get over it. Don't get over it. Don't get over the sacrifice that it took. Don't get over the fact that you don't deserve it. Don't ever get over it. Never stray far from the foot of the cross. And God's people said, let's stand. Father, thank you for the simple truth this morning. And while we rejoice as a church, and while the church is always extravagant and benevolent to us on our anniversary, and while we have seen a lot of changes over 35 years and wish that we could see greater changes, more changes, but one thing's for certain, God's message has never changed. And this pulpit will remain hot and will preach the truth as long as there's breath in this pastor and as long as you give me the ability to do so. Lord, help us to rejoice in our salvation today. Help us to rejoice that we are the children of God. Help us to rejoice that we are the sons of God. And then, Lord, there's one young person here, one teenager, one young adult, one couple, one senior saint that has any doubt, may they settle it. May they fix it. Lord, I had to fix it. I was in and out, off and on, hot and cold, sweet and sour. And finally, I had to go to a pastor, Pastor Dan Patrick, who opened the Bible and explained it to me. And I've never looked back since then. Lord, help us to not get over our salvation. Help us to be excited and thankful. Help us to know how much you love us and how intimate you desire to be with us. Help us to know that you are our fortress. You are that stronghold in our life. God, I pray that you would send fire on this place, the fire revival, and that we get over our sickness and our pains and our excuses and get busy and become fervent servants of our Savior. Lord, today we stand still. We fear not. We see the salvation of the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. So what do we come forward for? I think you can come forward thanking God for your salvation. When's the last time you did that? You know, some Christians, they think they earned that. They think they're deserving of it. They see some serial killer in prison. They don't think he's deserving. But I want to tell you something, neither are you, my friend. They see somebody who does some heinous thing to a child. And man, I mean, we can't imagine. But I want to tell you, can I tell you this? God loves that man as much as he loves you. And his salvation is as rich to him as it is to us. Despicable things, horrible things. And what's happened to us, as Jesus told the Pharisee, who's the most loyal, who loves him the most, the one who sinned the most, who's been forgiven, or the one who's not? Oh, listen, I think we could come and say, God, I just want to thank you today. It's been 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 35 years, 33 and a half years that I've been saved, but I'm not over it. I don't deserve it. And the sacrifice and cost was more than I can pay. And I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Then if you're here and you're not certain you're saved, you need to get it settled, man. You need to see the salvation of the Lord in your life. Got to tell you this. You say you're saved, but you live like the world and the devil. You're appeasing somebody in your life right now. You're marching to the beat of their drum, but it's not in your heart. It's not real. It's because you're not saved. You have a head knowledge, but it's not a heart knowledge. It has not changed your life. And I want you to know, when you get saved, man, the maniac was saved. The woman full of demons, she was saved. She was changed. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. Blind Bartimaeus had his eyes open. The man at the gate beautiful, he jumped up, who was lame from his birth. I'm just saying, when Jesus is in your life, there's a change in your life. Friend, you may have a counterfeit. You may have a counterfeit. And you need to see the real salvation of the Lord. Lord, bless. Have your way and will in our life. In thy name I pray. As the instruments begin, you come now.